You're listening to a podcast from Grace Church in Salado, Texas. For more information and resources just like this, visit us online at gracesalado.com.
God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He, him. Male and female created he, them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and the morning were the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Elliot, for reading the word of God. You might be glad to not hear me say, turn to Philippians. For those who are just now joining us, we've been in Philippians for many, many months, and we are starting a new series today. And as we've said, we are starting this new series, and here's why we're doing this. We have as our mission, our purpose of our church, that you and I would encounter God, that we would be equipped by truth, and that we would engage others. Three E's: encounter, equip, and engage. And so occasionally what we need to do is, as we're preaching through the Word of God, we would always be praying that we would encounter him, but sometimes we need to sort of camp out on a topic that will equip us so that we can be equipped with the truth of God's Word in a way that will help us to better engage those that God wants us to engage with. And so this will be one of those series. We're calling it Thrive. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word family or family series. It might be that when you heard this, you were like, there's no way I'm going for those 6 to 7 weeks to hear 7 weeks on the family. It could be that when you hear the word or the idea of family, whatever the emotions are, maybe you have the emotions of nostalgia, happiness, joy. You think back on how God has placed you or what has happened in your family, and you see all these blessings, and you arrive into this series, you're like, yes, I want to celebrate this. I want to embrace it. I want to help others with this. Some of you have differing emotions. When you hear the idea, the topic of family, maybe it's unpleasant, it's painful, or maybe it's scary or fearful of what you might hear or what you might think of. Maybe it's digging up memories that you have so successfully suppressed and pushed down, and you don't want those things unearthed, and so you are hoping we don't go there. Maybe your idea of family is memories of chaos and anxiety. You look back, and all you just picture is just a tornado of events swirling around what was or is your family. Maybe your idea of family right now is that of unmet expectations. That what you envisioned to be your family, well, that's not what your reality is now. And so all you're tasting right now is this unmet expectation of what you dreamed would come true. Like, we're not the Von Trapps, so why don't I have that? And maybe that's where you arrive. However you're here, whether it's through sadness and grief, happiness, joy, the reality is the family is dynamic. It's changing. And there's purpose in it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to camp out on what it is that God has for us, a family. So we have used the word, we've decided to use the word thrive because it is our desire, no matter where we are, that our family be a family that thrives. That's not weak, but is thriving. So here's our goal for the series. Okay, let me put it out there for you. That God would instruct us on how to plan, how to build thriving families. Real simple. For all the people that come to this, that you would find healing, that you'd find forgiveness, restoration maybe, whatever it is that you need to hear from the Lord to help your family be a thriving family. So today we're going to start with this word. Today mostly is going to be informative. We're going to learn today about what it is that God is planning when He created the family. The word thrive, if you look it up, it means simply to grow, to blossom, to develop well or vigorously. That's what it means to thrive. So that's what we're picturing for your family. That's what we're praying for your family and my family, that we would grow vigorously, that we would thrive. When we have the picture of something thriving, I think of a vine. We used to have this vine growing up the wall here. If you've ever gone, especially you see this more in the sort of northeast area, where you have these older buildings, these stone buildings, and you see these ivy, these vines growing up the walls, and they take over the house, or so to speak. You know what a healthy vine looks like. It's flourishing. It's kind of free, and it goes up as it grows. When my son and daughter were younger, one of our favorite things to do was to build towers, build walls. Not like real walls and towers, but we would take this bag of blocks or this box, big old storage thing of blocks, and we would dump all these different color blocks and shapes, and we would put them all over the floor, and ad nauseum, every time, even when they were like barely walking, putting the block in their mouth, drool coming all the way out. I'm saying to them as we're starting this process, what? You remember? What's the most important thing? To build a foundation. If we want a strong tower, we want something to grow and be strong, and when somebody walks in the room and they go, wow, JC, that's a great tower, you can point to the foundation. Strong. We started there. We worked there. And same thing with a vine. Every flowing, healthy, thriving vine is attached to something. Most likely it's a trellis. You know what a trellis is? You ever seen that? A trellis looks kind of weak sometimes, right? It looks like something blow it over. Sometimes people attach the vine just to the wall, but in this idea, let's think of a trellis. A trellis's purpose is to be something that is stable, that's unchanging, that is secure, that's unshakable, that's sturdy, that's in place, and this is important, I may have already said this, but it's unchanging. So that the vine can grow attached to what is unchanging, immovable, so that it can grow and flourish, and it can change and grow and be free to thrive. And we know what happens if there's no trellis. The vine loses its support, it doesn't have direction. It just sort of flops around, the rains come, it engulfs the vine eventually becomes limp, dries out maybe, dies, puny, it's not thriving. So in order for the vine to thrive, it needs a trellis. And in order for our families to thrive, we need a foundation. We need something unchanging to hold on to. We need, for thriving families, what is that trellis? What is the foundation that we should be built on? Well, the good news is, and you would suspect this, if you come to a church, we have that. We have a foundation. We have a structure with instructions on how our families can thrive, how to build families God's way. And we're going to look into Scripture. And we're going to start with a creator God who began with a foundation, creating the creation story with the first family. We're going to go back to Genesis. We're going to start there. And I want us to go to the Lord one more time before we really dive into this. You know that plant, I don't know what it's called. You would know this for you green thumbs out there. There maybe it's just fictitious or whatever. But, you know, there's those plants that have the thorn or whatever, and they can snap. Anybody seen those? Okay, am I just making that up just from some movie that was? Okay. Okay, so, yeah, we don't want to be that kind of vine right now when we start into the series, because we're going to be faced with some truths. We don't want to snap at the pruner as he's coming to make us a thriving vine. So let's go to the Lord and let's ask that he would remove the snap out of us, and that we would, as the vine, listen to what he has for us. Let's ask him now. Lord God, I pray that you help us to submit to your design, to your plan, your trellis to help our families thrive. For those who are here without their family today, I pray that you would speak strongly and firmly and hopefully to them about your plans for them. For those with a big family today, I pray that you would do the same. Teach us now, Lord, I pray. Amen. Well, what we see in this Genesis account, in this creation, is that it all started well. This is the epitome, the greatest picture of thriving ever, right here in this account. We're going to see that we are created on purpose and we are created for purpose. We're going to start with this as our foundation. On purpose. We are created on purpose. We are not, this is important, we are not accidentally made. We are not accidentally dropped into a spinning, chaotic world. The bag of blocks did not just go onto the floor and God say, hope they work it out. There is a design. There is a chief designer. I want to give you a glimpse, if you don't know the story, of what has happened before verse 26, where Elliot read earlier. Before verse 26, we learn that God, the Creator, has created and designed and worked everything out. It's marvelous. Start there. Read that this week. Light from darkness. Space from nothing. Sky, atmosphere, plants, wildlife, all before man was created. It's almost like the Creator was preparing for something. He's putting everything in its place. It's like he's saying, this is good, this is special, but there's something even better coming. Like this, I'm getting it all ready. Space, I'm putting gravity in place, light, the days, everything, because something's coming. I'm going to put it right in the middle of it, and it's going to be absolutely marvelous. Something else is coming. And we see all that, chapter 1, all the way through, and we come to verse 26. Let's look at it again. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So few things we want to look at here as foundational things for a thriving family. Notice first it says, let us make man. Let us. So from the very beginning, you need to know what this means is there's a conversation within the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Some people have said, well, this is God talking to creation. This is God talking to the animals. Like, okay, animals, everybody, now let us make something else. Evolutionists will say that. Like, this is what God means. When this is what we interpret this, is that from the animals, like in the image, will come forth from that. But the problem is, up until this point, there's been nothing else in the image of God. He's created everything else from scratch. Just this, and darkness, and animals, and frogs, and birds, and there's nothing like God. So it's not reasonable to say that God is linking this conversation with a created thing. Others say that he is referring to angels. But angels aren't in the image of God. No, let us make man. And we just read earlier from Colossians, where it says Jesus was at the beginning of all things. He is the creator of all things. So we know that what this is referring to is this amazing dynamic of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit agreeing, let us do something marvelous. This image that we have, let us make that image now. We haven't done it up until this point. Now let's do this. Second thing we need to know here is notice the intentionality here. Nowhere else in creation, in this creation drama, did God say anything, let us make something like. Like I said a while ago, it's all from scratch. There's nothing that, there was not anything like a hippo. There's nothing like air or oxygen or gravity. Earth, substance, seaweed, plants. There. But here, it's the first time we see God saying, I want to make an image of something. It's very important. It's on purpose. It's intentional. So what we see here is, again, that God did not dump out a bag of blocks on the floor. He did not just say, okay, I'm going to start stacking stuff. No, it's with great intention. He purposefully set everything up right in the middle of it. There's no fixer-upper here. There's no, like, there's no Hallmark movie that can give justice to how amazingly pure and beautiful and righteous this is. Like everything is thriving around this new creation. The first family placed right in to nothing but success. I love it. He placed everything in order and then placed his most precious creation right in the middle of it. The third thing we see here, and that God's designed on purpose, and I think this is very important for us to say, we'll say more about this throughout the series, but verse 27, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. Both created in the image of God. Both created. There must be order, just like there's the title of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is order in the family designed by God. We'll get to that throughout the series. But we need to always remember, always celebrate, and embrace the truth that every human being is created, precious, chosen, image of God. Every little girl, image of God. Every burly man, image of God. Every strong woman, image of God. Every man that's struggled with masculinity and what it means to be a son of Adam, a true man, image of God. Every woman who perhaps has felt shame and struggles with what it means to be a daughter of Eve, image of God. Male and female created equally in the image of God. Is that something we celebrate here or not? That's good news for us. We will celebrate that. On purpose, God created man and woman in the image of God. So God created humanity on purpose in his image. And we'll get to the order and what this all means and the dynamic of thriving as a family. We'll get there. But today, we celebrate God's intentionality on purpose. But for what purpose? What are we to do? Like, why did he do this? Like, we see on purpose, we see how direct he is, but what's the goal? Well, the answer to this is also found in the phrasing, in the image of God. So, for what purpose? Look with me again. He created him in, the phrase is, imago Dei. the image of God. What that literally means is reflection of God. We are to be reflectors of the Creator. So God created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, placed them in everything that's perfect. And there's only one creation in all of His creation that is given the title, "You are to be a reflector of my glory." I love it. A reflector of my glory, an image bearer. I read a few years ago that Imago Dei, the best way to explain it is like angled mirrors. That's why we have a mirror up here. You know those mirrors? You ever play that game with a mirror where maybe it's just something with glass or watch, whatever, the sun hits it and you like shine it on people's eyes? I do this still to this day. I did it this morning walking in. I mean, it's just kind of the goofy thing. Like, oh, pew, pew, you know, with ants, you would take the hot sun and with the magnifying glass, you would let it reflect off that into or reflect through it into and sizzle up the ants. Just give some of you an idea, okay? Let me try it this afternoon. Just keep in mind, we're supposed to lord over the creation caringly. But the purpose, what we see here, is that God has put humans in the world to reflect His glory, like angled glass. We are supposed to be like this glass, sort of at an angle, so that when you see me, because of the way I'm living, the way I'm acting, who I'm knowing, that you are seeing a reflection of God. Imago Dei, here, right here, in you. Imago Dei. Let us, it's almost like God saying, let us put a perfect creation in the middle of all these creatures, and they will image to each other my glory. So the family unit, Adam and Eve, will come together, and they're like mirrors. And they're going to help each other know the glory of God, because when Adam looks into Eve, he's not just going to see Eve, he's going to see a reflection of God, like an angled mirror. This is the design. This alone tells us that it's not an accident. We are created to be these angled mirrors and reflectors of God. You are beautifully and wonderfully designed, says Psalm 139. No accidents. You've got a purpose to reflect God. This is done best within relationships. This is done even better within families. So, we have sort of a big papa mirror up here, right? So, if I've asked you to volunteer, why don't you come forth with your mirror, and you're going to come over here, and we're going to look at these mirrors. So, can you hear me? Everybody hear me good? So yeah, go ahead and bring your mirrors up. So what we're going to see here is all these shapes and sizes. Okay, y'all go ahead and come in. Just stand with your mirror facing the crowd. Okay, everybody just kind of gather around. You got Papa Mirror here. Well, we bring Mama Mirror right here. Kurt, you don't want to be Mama Mirror, do you? Okay, all right. So all the y'all go ahead and kind of like do this, kind of bend a little bit that way. Okay. All right, so what we see here, we got all different shapes and sizes of what God's created us to be. All reflectors. Some people might want to use Chance's mirror here and say, okay, I want to really zoom in on this part of my face. It's a reflection of my face. But really, what this is supposed to be, okay, if he's like cousin family member here, he's supposed to be like reflecting to everybody else the image of God. And when they see Chance, they're seeing part of God. Same thing if we have the little toddler mirror here, right? Like, let's say he's a little two-year-old. So even in our little two-year-old little mirror, keep holding it, little mirror here, okay? God is speaking to mom and dad through the other siblings, his glory, even through a two-year-old. Reflecting his glory this way. So we come now over here to sister, okay? Sorry. So sister, and so same thing with who she is. Here she is, whatever he is, reflecting the glory of God and all the beauty and all the excellence that God's glory is through this image. And then you come to the crazy uncle, okay? And you have the same thing.
The family dynamic, no matter the size, no matter the shape, is intended, put into our lives so that when she looks over at the crazy uncle, she can still see images of God through him. That's what a thriving family is supposed to look like. Mirrors, helping each other. When she's down or the father's down or whatever, just to be down and also look at the beautiful story in the lives of what's going on in somebody else's reflection of God. And the family's supposed to be, oh, yes, I forget. God is good. I'm seeing it through your life. I'm hearing it through your life. It's a family of, stay up there, don't leave yet. It's a family of mirrors, reflectors, your family right now. If you're with the family or if you're somebody around you, just know the people around you are put in your life to be image bearers of God. Slanted mirrors. Angled mirrors. God is telling a story through each one of these mirrors, perhaps to you, another mirror in the family. God is revealing himself, layers of himself. This is how complex and how beautiful God is, that he puts all different types of mirrors around us. And it never gets old. We can never exhaust the glory of God. He's always speaking through the angled mirrors toward each other. This is the beauty of family. This is what it's meant to be. Reflectors of glory. We're going to sing a song in a little bit, and it's a hymn called Holy, Holy, Holy. You've heard that hymn before. But think about these words in this song. I'll just say the first verse goes, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song, our family, our thriving angled mirrors, our song is rising to thee. Holy, holy, holy. You're merciful. You're mighty. How do you know that if you're not in relationship with others and seeing the mercy of God? The fourth verse in this great, great hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise your name. All thy works shall reflect your glory in earth, sky, and sea. God was not accidental when he created everything else. And he was not accidental when he chose to put a reflected image of himself into this perfection. And he says to them, be fruitful, multiply, because I want images of God, slanted mirrors all over earth. This is what a family is to be. This is what family is supposed to be thriving. Even the siblings. Got any siblings in here together? You're supposed to be able to look at each other and say, wow, God's working through you. I'm knowing God more through you. That sounds impossible, right? It is possible. It was the chief plan. This was what God planned when the blocks came out and he designed everything else. Everything created. The trellis is set. The foundation's ready. Everything is signed. God put his image in the middle of it. But then the unthinkable happened. The unthinkable happened, and you know what happened. The first family decided they wanted to jump off the trellis. They wanted to do their own thing. And so what happens, instead of reflecting God's glory, it's just stained. It's marred. Next one follows suit. Stained, marred. And we find creative ways to sin, don't we? It's not just one way. It could be different ways. Okay? It could be creative ways. It could be different colors of ways. We find ways to get away from the trellis and find all sorts of distractions. And so now what happens in our family units, instead of seeing the image of God, the brother sees the sister, and all he can see is the mess. All the wife can see in the husband is how imperfect he is. All they see is this stain, these markings, messed up something beautiful. And so we're always attaining and we're always striving to not be stained and to reflect something beautiful. But guess what? We can't. We've been marked and we've been changed. Our purpose of reflecting the glory of God has been marred because, as Scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Have you ever wondered why that verse says that? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why doesn't it say all have sinned and we miss heaven? That's what it means, right? It means that, but it does mean this. All have sinned and have failed to be imago Dei. We're marred. Instead of reflecting God, what people see first is the stain of sin, our inability. I was going to fracture the mirror, then somebody told me it's bad luck. We see this, and we are reminded that God created the heavens and the earth. And we're also reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 10. The thief comes, and he does what? He steals. He kills. He destroys. That's the opposite of thriving. And some of you know very well what that means in your families. You know that there was a time where the enemy came and his cause was advancing. You know what it feels like to be marred. Maybe it was somebody in your own family that did it. Maybe their sin came at you and marred you. You know what it feels like for the thriving family to be stolen from you. That's why we're doing this series. We need to begin with this idea that God created everything on purpose, with purpose, imago Dei, in the image reflecting back on Him. And we need to be reminded that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So what do we do? How do we thrive? Jesus said right after that, "But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. "But I have come that you may have life abundantly." What that means in translation, I have come to bring your family and your life to thrive. I have come to give you hope, to make you new. I have come to make all things new, to set you free. I have come so that you can live life abundantly as a brother, as a sister, as an uncle, as a mom or dad. You can come and instead of seeing the stains of sin, okay, sometimes it takes a while to get rid of all that. Instead of seeing the stains of all the sin, the Trinity says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes doesn't have to perish, but can have abundant life." Whoever believes can have imago Dei again. That's what it means to thrive. So, even more so, imagine the young son that sees his dad changing. Have you experienced that in your family? Dad discovered the healing power and the forgiveness of Christ. Y'all give them a hand. Y'all can sit down now. So, y'all go ahead and sit down. You see the changing power of Christ happening in the family. You see your dad went to church, or your mom went to church, or maybe your sister went to camp, and they came back and they were different. Something's different. And all of a sudden you're seeing them, and you're not seeing the same annoying, frustrated pattern. Instead of seeing the rage and the bitterness of your mom or your dad, you're seeing something different. Call it the fruit of what God has done to change you. The fruit of the Spirit. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit together said, let us make man and woman in our image. They're going to be reflectors of our image. They fall short of the glory of God and they stopped thriving. But Jesus says, I'll go. I'll give them my life. The Holy Spirit says, I'll come and I'll bring them back to you. And we'll make them new. We can have families that thrive. Some of you, if you're to be honest, when I started marking up those mirrors, you're like, yeah, I know that feeling. In fact, to be honest, that's where I am, or that's where my family is. We're just marked up. We're not that vine that's thriving. We've jumped ship. We're not on a trellis. We can't even see the trellis, but we need it. I want to encourage you, and I want to invite you to the truth that you were created on purpose. You were created for a purpose. And no matter what the enemy has done to steal that, to rob you of that, to kill that plan, what we read earlier in Colossians is that God is bigger. And he's not going to leave. He doesn't want to leave you as this pile of blocks not thriving in your living room. So, we're going to take communion in just a second. It's our time of response to say to the Lord a few things. It's our time to take this information and to begin this series and just say, God, I know that you've created me on purpose. I agree with that. And I also know that because of my sin, I've marked up, I've left the opportunity to reflect you. So God, And when we take communion, we're saying, I know that Jesus came to make me new. It'd be real easy for one of the mirrors to blame another mirror. We do this all the time, right? We want to blame our dad. We want to blame our mom. Adam sets off right in here a few verses later. What does he do as soon as God points out what's wrong with his life? He blames the woman, right? The woman then blames the snake. Who have you been blaming? Today, let's just begin with ourselves. Let's hear the great, great news that God loves you, created you on purpose, for a purpose. And let's just admit, if you haven't already admitted it, that you need Jesus to clean you and make you new. So, when we take communion in just a second, that's your acknowledgement. Yes, Jesus is making me new. Some of you made that decision a long time ago, and you just forget. You just forget that he's made you new. That's why we do communion once a month, so that we can be reminded every month he's worthy. He did it. He did it. So we're not going to blame anybody else. We're not going to look at anybody else. We're just going to ask him to make us new. And if this is your first time to acknowledge that, to even say, God, would you make me new? You can do that right now in a prayer that we're about to pray. You could just say, Jesus, change my life. I want to follow you. Here's what happens when we take communion. We thank God for creating us. We confess our tendency to jump away from the trellis, and we thank Jesus for fixing it all, paying for our sins, erase the markings. When we take the bread, we take everything. It's going to come in two cups. You'll take the cups apart. You'll take it. It's like you're saying, I'm receiving Jesus. When you eat the bread, you're saying, I'm following his life. And when you drink the cup, you're saying, I believe that I am forgiven. That's why we do this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's thank him for Imago Dei. As we pray, our guys will get in place to serve it. This is your time just to be real with God and honest with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray that everyone in this room would join me in celebrating Imago Dei, that we were created in your image to bear and reflect the glory of God. And Lord, it grieves me that we have allowed the enemy to come in and steal and to kill and destroy that. But Father, we call upon you and we say thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son so that we don't have to stay marked up. Jesus, thank you for giving your life and for overcoming it all so that we can once again thrive. So as we start off this series, Lord, I pray that you would do work in our lives as we worship you now, as we thank you for the amazing work of Christ to redeem what you created us to be. It's in Jesus' name that we sing and we celebrate and we think upon this great work. Amen.